midst of continually breaking our record to complete our work in record time. My name is Lisa Schmidt, and I am your chair for the Clark County Solid Waste Advisory Commission. Our regular meeting tonight, Thursday, October 2nd. For sake of the minutes, let's just go quickly around the room, say who you are and what you're representing. Richard, go ahead.
Dick Baker, County at Large.
Jack McClary, Southwest Clark County.
Bill Turley, City of Vancouver.
Helen Jessica, Public Interest Groups.
John Evison, Solid Waste.
And, of course, our vice chair, which I'll never let you forget. So we do have a quorum here tonight. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes? I want to applaud Cynthia and an excellent job on that. Would someone like to make a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Don, first, and Jack, I'll accept your second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Dick Baker abstains. Moving right into our updates, I would like to remind those here that while we are always interested in furthering our education, that our main purpose is to make recommendations to the county commissioners. And so we are first and foremost dedicated to listening to information that would be made in the form of a recommendation. It's best if we get information prior to there being a report that some action has happened. So that in mind, Joe, you're just so ready there. Would you mind going first?
Yeah, definitely. So Joe Lashman, Program Manager, Environmental Public Health Overseeing Solid Waste. So Melissa Sutton, who is working on Solid Waste Program, has reviewed the new ops plan for Washougal, the Washougal Transfer Station. And we should have our new quarterly reports for you by next meeting. So I'll be bringing those for the next meeting to do with that. Also, I don't know, we've started with meeting with Waste Connections. Is it
I think it's cool, yeah, it's kind of fluctuating now with how the season is with the AJ Survey, but
yeah, so it's been really good just sitting down with them just to be on the same page, updates and what they're doing, and kind of coordinating on the ops plans. Also, I think it was maybe 2 months ago, I mentioned that we're thinking about bringing forward some revisions to the solid waste code for Clark County. So we've been meeting with Pete now on a monthly basis a little bit, but also again started those conversations. So at the next meeting, I'd like to, with Pete's blessing, bring a sense of a timeline as far as what our shop thinks would be a good timeline for looking at revising that code, some of the major issues. We have an older draft version from 2005, I think, but that where we want to start. Looking to revise
and that code pertains to
solid waste, so complaints, handling it on private property, and those type of things.
And does that have an impact to the 5-year plan?
Yes. So you want to incorporate
some of the recommendations we reviewed would be
part of that. Okay. All right. Does anyone have any questions for Joe at this time?
We'll be looking for recommendations from this meeting, just kind of providing some timeline and then have some time for you to provide feedback to it. And then obviously providing recommendations to the board and commissioners as far as.
Can you have a copy of the guidelines you can give us for what's in place now?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'd love to see that just so I know what you're, where you guys are going to go.
It hasn't been updated. It's pretty old. It's 80s, I believe.
And why has it not been updated?
I just think it wasn't, it hasn't really come up to for revision because it hasn't shown to be needing it. But as far as like enforcement, we really want to be able to be more responsive on solid waste complaints on private property. We're really limited our enforcement. That's one thing that we want to be focused on. We've actually had some conversations with the commissioners as well about the solid waste code. A couple of complaints on private property have been elevated to their level. And so they've had some concerns that we don't have enough enforcement have property owners clean up what's going on in their property.
Is there any RCW requirement to update that periodically?
I don't believe so, no. It's just asking you to do it. And I think some of it has been waiting for the management plan as well to be updated so that we can make sure that those two documents are kind of...
So for this is an interesting situation because for the most part we have had discussion here of we have discussion. Pete takes back information to the environmental director, and then the environmental director takes to the commissioners. So, Pete, would it be possible that you might investigate the alternate action of when the commissioners receive something and something comes back, and to hear something in this seems a little disconnected. Is that something that we could potentially look at from a communication standpoint?
We could, and it's a multi-departmental issue because you've got code enforcement, community development, that piece, public health, the contestable and vector piece, and then us, just from the medical service level and the system piece.
We have discussed this before, and it was when we had the other public health person here, and I pursued, what do you do if somebody's got a big pile of trash there? And really, it was brought to my mind that we couldn't do much unless it was a health hazard. So that's probably where you're at, and that's probably why you're doing it.
One of the issues we've been
And within our discussion, our sphere, we have minimum service levels, then those folks would be required to have garbage service, which hopefully we alleviate, which is the way the city of Vancouver works.
Right. And my personal viewpoint on the, we have solid waste versus there's health versus, even water is that, they're all interconnected.
Yes.
And so I don't really see them as separate issues. I've had this conversation actually with one, maybe a couple of the commissioners. And so it is important to look at and to continue asking that. But let's make certain that the communication is going to the fact of that the commissioners are aware that they have representative groups by state law designated to visit those different areas, as we heard during roll call.
And it is a little different in that it is the health code. So the commissioners make up the Board of Health, and so it's the Board of Health that would be adopting the new code and going through that process. We'd be engaging the Board of Health in that. So in the timeline, we'll work out, how we can engage that body effectively and also bring in a doctor out on the Board of Health officer in that process. So.
And you might also deal with the sheriff.
Yes.
Because, if in the process of picking this up, I find out whose stuff this is, what do we do about it,
Yeah, multitasking. So. And in the process we're speaking, Joe, Rich, you'll report tonight, but would our Waste Connections guests introduce themselves for the record?
I'm Kevin Miracle with CRC, the base of the old transfer stations.
I'm Melissa DiMantola, I'm with the education.
Yeah.
CRC
is Columbia Resource Company, not the...
Yes. Well, I did say we're multitasking.
<We're different>. Thank you. I was just getting ready to vote no.
Okay, very good. Let's go ahead and hear from the City of Vancouver, Rich.
Okay. Well, I have a gift for you all.
Uh-oh. Did he say scratch that? We're not allowed food or gifts.
So food's not good.
You can have taken with you if you want. You'll be able to see it. You choose to take them if you can. They were paid for by a grant from the Department of Ecology. It says so right on the back.
I knew I had given it to my commander.
And the front. The back and the front.
You get a different there.
Yeah.
Hey, bag. Hey, bag. I don't hear you watching that. So, about 38% of the people living in Vancouver live in multifamily housing, and we've been noticing that there's issues with contamination. Shouldn't be a real big surprise in the carts. but we saw some particular issues with glass in the last couple of waste electrification studies we did. So we're running right now multi-family glass to see if we can clean up the quality of the glass and the other materials to do a better job of recycling, really reduce contamination. So the pilot we're doing now, there was we picked about, I think it was like 33 complexes we have, and that represents about 2,500 units, which is about a tenth of the multifamily complexes. Some of those are in the city of Vancouver and some are in the county. Again, probably 90% of the multifamily units are in the city of Vancouver. So it's especially a concern for us. So we wanted to clean up the recycling. We first took a look and did some surveying at those places and found out that what the contamination levels were. And then we've done some interventions over the summer. First was to kind of get the location where the enclosures, where the containers are stored, in good shape, making sure that the containers are the proper color, proper signage, the signs kind of fit this look is. Basically, the multifamily program mirrors the single family program. Everything goes in one cart, and then glass goes by itself. So we've got that part of it done. Waste Connections has been very helpful, both in the planning and the implementation of that piece. It's an incredible amount of time to switch out containers and get the right color and put up all the signs. So that's all been done. And then we've taken, over the last month or two, and distributed these bags, totes, which can be kept in each unit. So for those 2,500 units, they have those, and they also have the brochure that comes with it to kind of tell them how the system works. But it says that right on the bag, and a couple places it says no plastic bags in the container. So it gives instructions. First, go down and put your glass on this, the green side, everything else on the blue side. You go down, put your bottles in the bottle part. And then empty out, and it has a lovely little handle on the bottom here. You can kind of like dump out everything else. So hopefully we're going to go back after we've done this and folks have had them out for a month or two and see if the material's cleaned up at least.
And so how large is the pilot study?
It's about 33 complexes, which is about 2,500 units, give or take.
And so for your surveys, how was your survey done? Was that the company who typically does surveys for the county?
Yeah, we work with Green Solutions, I believe. And they went and surveyed the sites before we did anything to kind of see how they were. And they're going to survey them again after we're done to see if they've been cleaned up.
And those monies came from?
Department of Ecology grants. It's a coordinated prevention grant.
Okay, so it was separate from the overall global fund that the county receives?
A coordinated prevention grant. I think we're talking about this a little bit later, view, right, about some of the budget stuff. So you'll get a sense how it fits in with that. But it is county money, but there is also matches provided by the county. There's of course in-kind time from county staff and Waste Connections being involved and CDC being involved. So, but the money for the bags themselves were part of the coordinated prevention grant program. So that was the update on that, and we're expecting once we get a little bit further along and we get the results of the second study, we'll do an actual presentation to you. But I wanted to kind of let you see the bag just in case you come across those. I don't know if any of you live in apartments or condominiums, but you may have seen those already, or you may get questions about it. So I wanted you to have a heads up on it. The other piece to know, and I forgot to bring the coupons, so you'll have to go to the website and print them off if you want a leaf coupon. So leaf coupons were good starting yesterday, October 1st, and then run through December 20th. They're available to everyone, city residents, county residents, small city residents, for that period. Dispose of leaves at three sites, West Van, H&H, and City Bark. Last year's numbers are kind of reflective of where things have been going. Last year, we had about 9,300 coupons redeemed. 52% were from city residents, 48% were from county residents, so about half and half. Overall, the cost of leaf disposal was $112,000. So that averages out to about $12 per coupon. And the average coupon brings in about 2.5 cubic yards, which is a full heaping pickup bed full.
Rich, I would be very interested in knowing in the percentage and the relationship. I understand City of Vancouver is the largest municipality within our county, but the relationship of the process in regards to the overall and the impact of the city versus the whole county, if that's possible.
When
you report on some of these items, there's no perspective because I don't have any of the other information.
I gave the numbers. So about 52% of the coupons were from city residents, and 48% were from county residents.
Okay.
So about half and half.
Okay.
And then we share those costs based on that. I use the county road fund that kind of covers the county's share of it, and it's the city solid waste fund that covers the city's share of it.
Okay.
And then for the apartments, I think I said that about 90% of all of the apartments are in the city of Vancouver.
Right.
And so that for the pilot study, it's about the same.
Right. And multifamily has always been a challenge, so applaud you for taking a look at that. Good. I have a question that I would like to ask that I noted that there is information, I believe it might be a request for a proposal now regarding, Tanya had given us a presentation some time back, and I'm trying to remember how long ago, in regards to notifications and such. Can you speak to that a little bit?
A little bit. So we have a program right now that's done by Recollect, which is a company that does, they have a widget, which is like just like a little box that appears on the web page for Vancouver's website, Clark County's website, and for Waste Connection's website. And you can go into that widget and type in your address. And as long as you're a garbage recycling customer of Waste Connections, it will return back to you an opportunity to print a calendar of what days is picked up. Because some places, and it's really variable. So, I mean, you could be in Camas and you could have recycling every week and garbage every week, yard debris every other week. In Vancouver, you have recycling one week, yard debris the next week, garbage every week, or maybe garbage every other week, maybe garbage once a month. So it's kind of complicated. So it's nice that there's this widget, this service, that will tell you what your collection calendar is. If you'd like, they will send you an email. They'll give you a call at whatever time in the middle of the night you want to be called. Say don't, or the evening before, if you pick the time. I believe they'll also send you a tweet if you do that. And remind you, hey, tomorrow's garbage day, or the day after tomorrow's garbage day, don't forget to set out your recycling, or your yard debris, or both. We can also use the service to do reminders seasonal. So there's a holiday coming, Christmas is next week, in case you didn't know. Don't put out your garbage, you know, because it gets picked up one day later that week. I forget what the schedule is this year, but the other service they offer, and we're in the process of providing, is something they have called the Waste Wizard, that is going to do for us a lot like what A-Z does. So you can say, I would like to recycle my block styrofoam. And it will tell you, you just type that in the widget on the website, and it will come back and tell you, okay, these are places you can take it. Or I'd like to get rid of my boom box, or my some old golf balls, anybody that would take them. And it's sort of an interactive system. I think it will be a little more robust than recycling A to Z. I think we're going to run both of those in parallel for a time, but it provides that service. So when we initially set up the Recollect, we had been funding information in the yellow pages of the phone book. It was called the brown pages, which had like 8 pages of details about recycling and transfer stations and so forth. We made a decision that there's not that many people that still get the phone book, so let's put those dollars, and actually a little bit less, into something that's a little more useful to folks. So this Recollect system was part of that. We're at the point now where we're needing to go out to bid to do sort of the comply with the procurement rules. We need to go out to bid now for somebody to do that service. So I guess the RFP Tom was probably mentioning.
And what struck me was the reminder for garbage service. I just kind of thought,
why are we providing a service to call you and say, hey, tomorrow's your garbage day?
A lot of people really appreciate that. They forget, or they forget what day their recycling ends. They forget which cart goes out. A lot of people will go out and look at the neighbors to see
what I was just going to mention that. I got a guy that's out. He's never been wrong in 12 years.
That's right.
Never. He's always right on, and I follow him religiously.
And the people that do the thing, of course, they have testimonies about how great it is. There's an increasing number of communities all across, really starting in Canada and then in the U.S. They're using this.
What funds it? What is going to fund this RFP?
Well, the City of Vancouver, Clark County, Waste Connections, and Columbia Resource Company are all partners in helping fund the service.
You know, I want to just say, because we have especially gone through, and Rich, I just want to really say what a great job that you do, because it always appears that it is during a time when the city is reporting that these things become especially clear. And, you know, this commission, you know, I really appreciate everybody's, you know, work in it, but we are a recommending body. And when we are getting information that something went through and somewhere in the county agreed to this, to be a part of this, it's a little bit of somebody help me that has better public relations than me.
Disjointed.
Thank you.
We're not hearing this beforehand. But we're hearing that you've already done this in conjunction with.
And I want to say, because this is not a criticism in particular, this is for the whole group here, because we have gone through a long process. When did that reconfiguration start? Does anybody remember? Because that was kind of the start of it. And so for me, and I think I might have been chair during the whole ordeal, you know, working with, you know, before Bill Barron left, and reminders of what the state statute meant, and of course we have a new services director, Pete, you're in a new role. We have a lot of new people here. And, you know, we were really forced, you know, first off we were disappointed that we were not getting dinners throughout the whole process, but maybe more so, it really brought to mind that, you know, as we are studying things, that this commission has always been taken with the seriousness. It is state law that created this commission. We don't meet because, you know, I think we all could be best friends, but, you know, we simply are too busy. And so for the sake of all of this, and please excuse me that it is in the middle of talking to you, it is very important, folks, to bring things that are heading up to the sixth floor before they are coming down and it's disseminated. I love getting treats. I love finding out about it. But it's a little bit that I'm sitting here wondering, well, if all these decisions have been made, then maybe we have no decisions or recommendations to make here tonight and we could go home. And I'm sure most of the people in the audience who are here, because they have to be here, you know, would really appreciate that. So with that said, I just want to say, you know, especially so because it's come to the forefront of this group in particular. And Bill, I know you're fairly new, but I know you're not into going to meetings just for the sake of going to a meeting. And so please keep in mind that when grants have been applied, when, you know, that there is the time to come forward, I would especially appreciate is that we're thinking about putting this out. We have an opportunity to take advantage of this grant, and we would like for your stamp to go up to the sixth floor and say, you know what, county, please coordinate, because 52% of the leads are coming from Vancouver, you know, or whatever example we use. And I just feel very strongly about that, and if I'm saying this out of order, you know, somebody please stop me, but I think that we really need the information before it goes out, because you know, it's not going to be in the newspaper, but we are recorded here, and sometimes I wonder, you know, I think, gosh, would I like for any of my children to come to the meeting and say, you know, I happen to be looking for a job, I'm very smart, I have straight A's and all this, because it'll go in the funnel and get posted on the county website. I want to make sure that we are making very good use of time of commissioners. And I know we've had conversation here about the value of each person here. We have some very expensive people here, including, I have been reminded numerous times of how much an FTE costs at the county level. So that said, I'll get off of my wagon and remind me where we were, Vice Chair.
We were just discussing the RFP, and I think it's a good example. I mean, obviously, you can do, as the city can, what they deem is their best interest. But let us know. I mean, gee, it would be nice to know this, because I got a phone call. I said, did you read that they got a reminder service for garbage? No, I didn't know that until I went back and read the article in the paper.
Well, I remember we did a presentation on the recollect service back last spring, I believe.
And it was a pilot at that point.
No, it was ongoing. Yeah. Our intent was for it to be ongoing. We wanted you to be aware of it.
I signed up. It works every time, every week. To be sure, put your garbage out tomorrow.
And it's been a popular program. We did kind of a soft launch on it. We haven't done like a large balloon release or anything like that.
I think the point is that for all the departments, keep us in the loop. We're supposed to listen. We're supposed to make recommendations. We're supposed to work together. And especially with city and county, you guys have got to work together. Now, we don't have any say over what the city does generally, but we all work together for the same end. So, okay, I think we beat that to death.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
Yep. That's why you guys keep me here, isn't it? I'm looking around here and got all these men that don't like to talk. That's why you guys got me. I get it. Okay. Anything else, Rich?
No, that's
all. Okay, fabulous. Pete, would you be so kind?
Yes, I will. And I will be to point. The SWAC recommending arm, I have taken that to note. In our budget presentation, which will come later, that has not gone up yet. It's a good opportunity to weigh in on where we're heading. And then our next big one will be in March, when we put together our big grant for the intervention. So we will make sure that you recommend that as well. So, with that said, we have failed on a couple other recommended votes. We did go out with an RFP on graphics. I did give you a heads up on that. We're waiting to hear back on that. Keep you posted. Basically, it's just to do some in-house work. We've had some changes in personnel in our public information outreach office, so this will give us more opportunity. There was something that you may have seen in the paper about Comcast, and those were some commercials that went out to support our Green Neighbors Recycling Day events, where we collect the hazardous waste and the other materials. We did get approval, if we wanted to use those dollars in 15 and 16. Again, that would be something we would get a SWAC blessing on, for sure. But nothing is committed at this point.
I got a question about that.
Yes.
When I did the shredder thing a couple of weeks ago at the service, first thing he asked was, how did you hear about this? Yes. Obviously, somebody tracks.
Yes.
Could we find out, what's the best, what has been the best report? I mean, do they say, well, I saw it on TV, or I read it in the newspaper, or what has been the most successful way of getting this information out there? I mean, I read the Comcast thing, and I go, gee, I don't watch TV.
Sure.
So that's not going to hit me, but they asked that question. And it kind of threw me when I had my stuff to be shredded. And he said, well, you don't have a space. So I sit on SWAC, so that's how I heard about it.
Well, let's make a note in the notes that we will do a quick wrap-up at the next SWAC meeting on those events, because our last one is October 4th in Battleground. So we can wrap up how people heard about the events, all the material we brought in, what the costs were, and I'll make it very quick.
Yeah, well, just basically, what gets their attention? What's getting them to show up for it?
How do you find out? Do you actually have somebody there asking, how did you find out about this event?
We do, as time allows, sometimes there's traffic issues. So again, it's a representation of what's come through, and not every event got the same
level of questioning, but we have all that information, and we can tabulate that for sure.
I'm just curious.
Yes.
I'd like to know what gets us the results.
And we would like recommendations from this committee on how we move forward. Those events cost money. There's a lot of, we're doing a strength, weakness, opportunity, threat process on that. We can integrate that in as well.
On your environmental newsletter that I don't see that you got this time. I don't know if you're putting
The Green Neighbors, no.
It just came out today.
I saw it.
It just came out. We didn't have time to print it, so.
Okay. But anyway, you usually do tell, you know, how many people participated and,
yes.
and you know, that kind of thing.
But it's a big offering. It's a big grant expense. We want to make sure that we're all comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, are we getting the people who want to
Yes.
that we need to? That's what I want.
It's good. It's a good voice for this community.
Pete, can I ask a quick question here? Did I hear you say something about the biennial?
And that's on the agenda, so we'll go through that.
I thought I just heard you mention something about that.
Just very briefly, it was an intro to what's to come, to what's your appetite.
Okay, I just have one question on it here, if you'd indulge me for this. The city has to have the budget done and signed by the 1st of December, preceding the biennium.
Okay.
Is that the same requirement for the county?
We, I believe, are December 31.
Okay. All right.
We still have time. Very briefly, we have four very successful medication take-back events that occurred last weekend in partnership with Kaiser and the DEA. And we have three AmeriCorps members who just started in our division, wonderful folks. So they'll be working on quite a few things. We are going to be launching a clean cart campaign, and that's something we're going to want to bring you up to speed on. We're hoping to outreach to all the blue carts in the county, with the exception of some rural areas where we're just too far away, too far apart from the households. And we are piloting how we are going to best let folks know that they should be putting plastic bags in our blue carts. It's become an issue primarily at the processing plant. It gets hung up in the gears and the wheels. They have to shut down the whole line. We've got to cut it out with a box knife. And folks, from an education standpoint, they see the number on it, they just think it goes in there. Really, it's an education issue. So we'll be working on that piece and bringing you up to speed for recommendation on how to move forward.
Okay.
This is kind of like Seattle's food inspection, where they're going to go in there and look for
We've done that on a pilot basis, and we found that this problem exists. Now we just want to educate. So are we going to leave a tag on the cart, you know, all 100,000 blue carts? Do we leave a sticker or do we put a sticker on the cart? We haven't figured out how best to.
Are you going to suggest where you can take the plastic bags to leave them for recycling?
Yes, that will also be there.
So that'll be part of the suggestion on the blue cart?
Yes, and I think Rich had mentioned, or actually it was Tanya in a meeting, I think it's 60% of, they've done a poll, American Plastics Association, 60% of folks think the bags go in the carts. And then I think it's about 40% don't know, if they don't go in there, they don't know where they go. So there's still education, and mostly it's because it's an operational issue.
In California, just banned them, by the way.
Well, I was going to say, in Oregon, one July, they're going to be done. So this is a good time because, you know, the wind blows from that direction usually.
Okay, that's all I have. And make sure to look at your Green Neighbors newsletter.
I would like to mention, you talked about the drug take-back. I just came for that meeting for Prevent Coalition. We collected 1,200 pounds of pharmaceuticals that were returned. 1,200 pounds. That's little teeny pills like that to get 1,200 pounds is pretty heavy. So it's quite a success.
Good partnership effort.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it for updates, correct?
Yes.
Okay. U.S. report, transfer station siting analysis and feasibility assessment.
So we've talked about this for a while. It's kind of been in the oven. and we finally deemed it from draft to final, and have, you know, brought it to the SWAC for its initial review. And I think one of the main thing that came out of this is something we all know about Clark County, that industrial lands are in very short supply, and that siting any facility like this is very much a challenge. Despite the fact that we looked at many sites, whittled it down to about a dozen, a cluster that we thought were going to be feasible near the Richfield Junction, the same old issues came up, and land use being the primary one. If you really want to boil it down to what we ran into, I would suggest you read the letter from Richfield. And they pretty much said thanks, but no thanks. There's a high bar to reach here. And when we looked at these other sites, there just was not the transportation routes in and out, or you were close to, especially on the right-hand side, if you're going north at the junction, there are high dollar residents back in those woods right behind those developments. And the type of development that Richfield is looking for, they pretty much expressed that it's more of a commercial in nature and something that would be compatible with those neighborhoods, or seem to be compatible. And so basically we have taken two tacks with this. One, can we site a fourth transfer station and eventually siphon off some of the traffic coming from the north down to the south? Is that feasible to do that? What would that traffic pattern amount to? And what would the flow from the commercial collection look like? And in all reality, it boiled down to it just wasn't feasible from a land use perspective and or an economic perspective at this time. And even though we're looking at 20 years out, I just don't see that happening to the north right now. Something really dramatic would have to happen for us to be welcome out there. The thing that we do have going for us is that there is property behind the Dietrich pit, or the existing central transfer station in the Dietrich pit. There are some preliminary site proposals that were prepared by CRC a number of years ago. We will start to move forward in looking at those. What we're proposing in this budget cycle is to build on the PBS study and take a harder look at possibly a public self-haul area in the Dietrich pit, splitting the streams so you have a public self-haul down below and a commercial up here. Most all modern transfer facilities split the public from the commercial these days, and it has to do with safety and ease of use. So one of our number one complaints is the traffic at Central, and the site is cramped and dirty. And a lot of that is you've got these huge commercial vehicles, loaders, operators, intermingling with soccer moms delivering their waste in a small trailer. And it is only by their safety training, it's a miracle we haven't had a serious accident out there, but they really stress safety out there, and we've been very lucky. But something's got to give here. Anytime we have more than 600 or 700 on a Saturday, we're out on 503. Now, we did evaluate a drop lane, but eventually the cost of that drop lane got up to roughly $880,000 for a 300-foot drop lane. That is some of the most expensive real estate in the county. And that particular point, that northern point where it comes down like this, and that entrance is like the nexus of all utilities up and down 503. So there's some real issues even with the transfer station that we have. But what we're proposing is to kind of take a harder look at that, and I'm just going to kind of go over what the draft scope of work is. We have not got budget for this yet, and we're throwing this out to you so you can understand what we're proposing. first off, one of the things we got creamed on the Washougal Transfer Station was our siting criteria and how we managed to site Washougal. We spent 3 years in land use. Took us a lot of money, a lot of legal expenses to get that out of land use. So one of the first things we want to do is hire a consultant that will be able to evaluate the siting criteria in the plan and compare that to what was done with the PBS siting study and ensure that we did it correctly. In the second stage, our task that we would look at them to do is to take a look at some preliminary or proposed site plans for the public use site. And let me kind of read what we would need to take a look at. Number one is the potential ingress and egress routes. How are we going to get them in and out of the back down there? How can we get them in and out safely and back out on the 503? That's number one. And some of this right now, I need to talk to our development engineering folks. We may be required to do a traffic study at that phase. I'm not sure. We do have a preliminary traffic study we did in 07, but it didn't really capture the recycling folks and the HHW folks. So we don't have those customer counts to really move forward right now. And the plan is over next summer is to, actually do some surveys and determine what those customer counts kind of look like, especially on high-use weekends. Obviously, what the layout would look like, the scale house, recycling facility, hazardous waste facility, and the public self-haul area. So, like I said, there have been some back-of-the-envelope sketches done by Waste Connections and URS in years past on this, but we need to come up with a preferred site plan and how, once again, how are we getting them in and out. Then it's the big one. There is multifamily housing on one side. There's a neighborhood that's grown up to the west. And directly above the D3 pit, there are seven residential units, single family. So obviously, we need to take a look at mitigation. And can we mitigate that? And then obviously, along those lines, it's a commercially zoned area. It operates under conditioned use now. The conditioned use would have to be reevaluated, so we need to take a look at what our permitting process would look like. And finally, they would develop the cost, they'd recommend a preferred site plan out of all of that. And then you evaluate what the cost of that development would be. And all that is building for that. The big question, is it feasible actually to build it there?
I have a question. You mentioned that in the traffic study that the people frequenting were not captured.
In the 2007 study.
But how is it not possible that we don't have documentation of them, numbers by the mere visitation of that spot?
What they do is we have scale counts. So, as someone drives across the scale and dumps the garbage, we know those numbers. And we have preliminary survey data. I just don't know if it would qualify as being valid for a traffic study.
Oh.
So we've done some surveys out there, clickers and whatnot, but we really need to take a harder look and get a statistically valid sample. And so we know what's really out there. We can say, hey, we have X number of users during a peak, and average is this. So you've got peak and low periods that you take a look at in these traffic studies. And we just don't have that for, we know how many people came to the HHW facility, but we don't. The recycling one, nobody's out there saying they drove through there.
Gotcha.
I mean, if you've ever been to any of these, you just drive up and drop
right,
off.
Right, there you are.
And so I had Green Solutions do some preliminary survey work, but it's just not enough. So we would need to build on that really as we go through this process. And that, all of that, again, goes to, is it feasible? So, I mean, we've kind of ruled out, can we go to the north? We're going to rule out or rule in whether we can build and expand a CTR. And if we can, then we take that next step, which is you know, we know what the construction costs are going to be of that preferred site plan, and then we start evaluating what is the rate structure that gets that done. And basically, you've got tip fees, transaction fees, county reserves, you potential for a contract extension, and would you apply that system-wide, or would you apply that only to the user at CTR? And so those are sort of the options that can potentially pay for additional work, which is what that would fall under in the contract. So obviously no one's going to build this for free. It's probably going to be in the range, and this is a real, don't quote me on this figure, $3 million, easy. Probably get that done, maybe four. So that's about the range of what Shugel was in.
Jeff.
Mike, I question the thinking regarding expanding that site, knowing what the traffic pattern is like out there now, and thinking ahead 20 years. The growth of Battleground area is almost a certainty. The growth of Woodland area is going to be a certainty, and Ridgefield. So you've got three communities forming a belt across the northern part of the county that are going to really grow in 20 years.
And you know, I don't disagree with that at all. I have the same concerns, but a good planning means we rule out things too. And so I think this is money that we need to spend now to rule it out. And if other lands open, there has been some discussion to the north about opening up some rural farming lands.
Well, and I don't have any personal thing in this, but I want to suggest that Chalachi Prairie, site of the International Paper Complex, which is now an industrial zoned site with rail siding available, huge area and no noticeable neighbors anywhere around there. Now, the only thing is, in 20 years, there's going to be some improvement in highways, I'm sure of that, out there, and some of those curves are going to be done away with, I'm sure, too. But I would hate to see us go too far down the road on forcing that English Pit site where you know the traffic is going to just get crazy. And the dangers involved in that, I don't think we want to go near.
Well, plus the life cycle might not be very long.
And I agree with all that, but I mean, this is kind of where we've circled back to, and you know, this is what solid waste planning is all about. So we either know we can do that, or we know we've got to go somewhere else. And then we have to get down to, once again, we looked. And I mean, I'd urge you to take a look at all the sites we looked at in this study. And, you know, how far out do we go?
And so, Mike, in that process of what, you know, Jack is suggesting here, how does something like that fit in to the whole, you know, because I understand the cost of studying the process of, you know, obviously there's a huge effort into that. And once you start, you know, dollars are expending. It's not just you're going along and if something like what dollars are being expended along. How does something like what Jack is suggesting, is that, was that considered? Or in the process of doing so, I guess, you know, for the sake of someone who I do not fully know of all of the sites that you visit, how does that suggestion of what Jack is making fit into the... Is it just completely invalid because it is what it is? Or help me understand how something like what Jack
is
recommending.
Well, I would go back to task one. You know, did they do a complete study? Are there other sites available that they missed? And I think that's part of this whole process. Did they do it right in the first place? So, I mean, you go, you know, it's a process of building upon itself, mainly, partly to keep you out of court, and partly to know, did you do it all right? Did they do it right?
And so when you say
did they look at the Comanche site?
Grab sites, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, not in this.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're actually taking a look at that for an organic site. But the distance out there is part of the issue. There's, as you mentioned, there's nobody out there.
Now.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with what you're saying, because we're going to see this conical growth of I-5. And that is part of the problem, is that land has such value for, you know, transportation type businesses. I mean, it's, you know, it's difficult when you're not the most desired of businesses.
Yeah, site wise. If you can look at that site for organics. Organics are much more than not in my backyard than a transfer station.
But correct.
Neither one of them are loved.
Right. And then right now the county is in the process of looking at, I'm trying to remember what the rural industrial holding, is that what the term was? When you drive up 503, there's the two big dairy farms off either side, all the way out to 149th, Lakeler Farms, and another farm out there. And they are looking at that. And if that were to get past the GMA, then we'd have some property just to the north that would be far more suitable.
Super
transfer
station.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm noticing is that you named three communities out to the north. I would hope that they're being brought into this discussion. You're the one who's going to be creating waste. Where do you propose we take it?
Well, Battleground and us
dump that right back in their own lap, because you know, we don't necessarily want to get all of their waste down here, but at the same time, they've got to be looking actively for their own immediate area to dispose of their waste too.
Well,
so they've got to be intimate. They've got to be right in the middle of this mix here and trying to find a site.
And Battleground especially is hurting for industrial, and that's one of the real problems for that community, is that there's a lot of wetlands in and around it and poor soils. And so that particular site, but the thing that is the big problem with Battleground and why they are a major generator of self hauls, they don't have mandatory collection. Mm-hmm. So this discussion has happened with them.
Yeah.
Is because we've done zip code surveys, and surprisingly a lot of people from the neighborhoods in and around Vancouver actually use Central, as do the neighborhoods in and around Battleground. And there's this real tight kind of, you know, and it's typical, you've got about a 10-mile circle around a transfer facility that really generates a lot of garbage, self-haul. And it's just, you know, 20 miles out, it gets less and less.
Have you looked at breaking off like recycling? Because I've used all three for recycling, and you still have the traffic has to get off, go to the sites, mm-hmm. but you could easily put in bins for recycling anywhere. And to me, that would help. It's a temporary fix to traffic, but it would take 5% of your traffic out.
Yeah,
immediately, and you could put those in cheaply at a dozen different places.
Well, here's my experience with that is.
People put junk there.
Yeah, they become dumps very fast. But Thurston County tried that in the 90s, and that was sort of the first generation of recycling facilities and drop-offs, and they became dumps. And that's
but I've seen them work in Minnesota.
Yeah,
they have some
they
really good places.
They work in the Midwest.
You're in the Midwest, they have them in a lot of places. They even have them in schools.
You have along 101 in Oregon as you go down.
Yeah.
By Cannon Beach. And
so, you know, to me that would be a way to get rid of some of the traffic. Because on a Sunday or a Saturday, you know, they're in there as well as everybody else.
Well, I don't disagree.
Put in the recycling things.
And I think that's
cuts
why.
Cuts down the traffic at Central.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason I think we really need to talk about, you know, how many we're getting there. Find out more about that.
Find out what it is and where they're going.
So, I mean, and the other piece that's kind of interesting is that with the advent of curbside, you've got less and less buyback centers. I mean, you really don't have drop-off buyback centers anymore. They go to the transfer facilities that they're dropping off.
Mm-hmm. Well, mean, and because a buyback won't take really small loads. You know, I had a pickup load of metal, and they didn't want to do it because it wasn't heavy enough.
You know, one, I'm just on the subject here, is, you know, we oftentimes think that things have to be done the way they've always done.
Always been.
And, you know, for maybe there is a next generation sort of drop-off, and I'm not suggesting now is the necessarily the time, but I do believe that when times change, trends change, and people are willing to pay for a service, and if it's a lot closer that they can go to their local grocery store and drop off their recycling right there, even if they were an attendant. We talked about creating jobs and how we do that, and I think that these are some of the things that, you know, when you start looking at, you know, a $3 million price tag, it starts putting perspective on maybe some other ideas of which, you know, I'll just bring back, now's not the time, but we should certainly schedule, you know, maybe something like this would be a good kind of a work session time when we don't have, you know, everybody, you know, whose time is here independent of this subject. To talk about, because I think, you know, it sounds like there could be some discussion potentially.
Oh, there's no doubt there needs to be some discussion down the road, but we still need to kind of start kicking this forward and evaluating what our opportunities are.
How can we help you with that, Mike? Well, how can you use this group to get that done?
At this point, like I said, I think we should continue to work on, you know, honing in on a scope of work and you know, deciding what we need to do to, you know, determine what's out there. Did we do this right the first time? And just keep it moving forward.
And if someone has more of an interest in that, Jack, certainly you seem to have a lot of information and such. You know, would you mind if Jack met with you?
Oh, no. I mean, it's, you know.
That might work good for the sake of, we're not going to hit our record time tonight.
Well, and like I say, this is, we're still waiting for budget approval on all of this, and you know, this is the type of thing you take your time doing because you need to do it right. So I'm not in a huge hurry, and, you know, we do have capacity for now, but as you have all observed at that particular site, it's tight. Mm-hmm. And we got a reprieve in 2008 because the economy tanked. Now we're starting to see those occasional weekends where they're back out on 503.
Mike, I'd like to point out something too. CRDC has a land for jobs committee that's working on it. They're working in conjunction with the county, trying to find out where the sites are, and we're finding, you know, little pockets of water, so therefore it's a swamp land, you got to do all kinds of different things, and we're finding out that there are restrictions of county to the east, county to the north, Columbia River around the south and the west. We don't have all that much really to expand into, and to find a transfer point in there, I understand that, because we're looking for places that really generate revenue and jobs.
Right.
And not my backyard is just huge right here. As you started out, I can just, that just rang a real big to me.
Well, and the other piece is, and this was brought up in the Ridgefield letter, is transfer stations are not considered high job producing sites.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
And so they're critical public facilities, but they're not considered high volume sites. And so it's like you're in this kind of catch-22, you've got to do this, but no one wants you there.
Not in my backyard.
And even the municipalities are against it. So we'll continue the discussions.
Before you leave, you mentioned organics. How far along is that thought process?
We are very preliminary in that. It's just actually, Pete, you can probably speak to that more than I can.
We've had two meetings. We met with Bill Kravis, who's the owner out there in Chachi Prairie. He is unwilling to sell his land. The land is sacred to him and his family and his enterprises, which kind of makes it a little harder for the county to get involved, but it seems like Waste Connections has an economic interest in possibly having an in-county arrangement, because right now the tap is closing on where we can take those materials on the Oregon side. So there is a meeting with the top brass Waste Connections folks from this region in a couple of weeks.
Is that organics, as in the yard debris?
The yard debris, food waste.
Where I'm going, I'm asking a question. Are we going to, are you looking at expanding food waste into the residential collection?
We are far from that discussion.
Did you say food waste and residential?
Yes. And that'll come up in our, we'll show you on the timeline when we get to our plan.
No, that, you know, I went out to, you know, the dirt hugger.
Yes.
Where our places, where our stuff's going now, you know, you haul one truck a week up there, and they love it because yours is the cleanest they got,
right.
And their process is they're moving from the west part of Dallas to the east part of the Dallas. They can double their capacity. There's no problem, as far as I know, of you can ship everything you want up there, and they're compost. They can't make it fast enough.
That's on the food.
That's on the food waste, or it could be, you know, any of your other stuff.
Mike, the Ridgefield letter, where is that?
It's right in the back.
It's that memo from...
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I wanted.
Starts out real nice.
Okay, I looked at that. I just thought there might be another letter from the city.
And dear friend, and then it goes downhill from there.
Then it says the applicant would have an extremely high bar to reach. To meet all these criteria.
Thank you for taking the time. Okay, review of the 2015-16
yes.
budget.
And we are very lucky to have Mike and his knowledge on our team. So I'm sure you were.
We appreciate you coming here. We don't want to make
the long timers at first. Mike.
There will be tons of lawyers along the way. Have a lot more fun with me. We do.
Okay,
guys, I'm going to get out of here.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, the 2015 budget, I'm going to call along. It should be the same. Folks in the audience, I don't know if they got copies. So we got copies for you. Okay, we are in the process of finalizing this, and we do have it adopted by the end of the year. Assuming you guys can all see these and you can follow along. So you can look at our total budget. Again, these are two-year numbers, and they will be two-year numbers throughout the presentation for 15 and 16. We are a $6.2 million operation from the revenue side. The system user fees, that is the contractual payment that we get from the transfer stations. It's about $145,000 per month. That adds up to that about annually. We get close to $1.3 million from the state through the grant program. And again, that's a pass through the counties, so we're fortunate to have that currently. And then we have some fees that we collect in the county from our yard debris, multifamily, and single family. It's anywhere from 20 cents to 25 cents a month. Top of your bill. We have some programs that we fund that are water related, but money comes in to cover those from our clean water fund. So I can point that out as we go through. We also have a revenue share that we do with the city and with Waste Connections on the materials that we process and we collect curbside. That represents about $300,000. FARF. Is really for a whole other day. That's the Financial Assurance Reserve Fund that was set up back when closed like the landfill. And I think it's got about $20 million in it. This is just to cover some of Mike's time. So he fills that fund and comes through. And the rest is kind of incidental revenue, adding up to about $6.2 million. And this just shows you visually how that revenue sizes up. So really, the money we get from the transfer stations, the money we get from the state grant, is a good more than two-thirds of the money that comes in to us. What is important to note is that that money is regional dollars. So the county, all the cities, and the town of Yakult, they are all partners in those dollars. So when we expend those dollars on programs, they need to be regional.
do you get special grants too, or special projects and studies?
We do. Sometimes when the state grants are not allocated because there's a match, some folks can't use all the money that they have. They do a competitive grant. We just got one for $75,000 to recover reusable items out of the transfer station. So we'll talk more about that as we move forward. That's a pilot program.
So that's above this?
Above and beyond, yeah.
So has this been done in other areas, Pete?
It's being done in Oregon, the metro transfer stations.
Has that been done, though, in other... I would just find that very... being a Midwest girl, a very bizarre activity. You know, sometimes I say, boy, if I went and said, here's a great idea that we're putting, they'll remind me that I'm living on the West Coast. Is that being done in other areas, or is this unique to us?
No, it's being done in other areas, yeah, for sure.
Really?
I don't know about the Midwest. again, our revenues and expenses match up. We have our salaries, our services. The salaries are the budget lingo are our 100s, which are non-controllables. The services is our next biggest expense. Those are our 400s, and that's for professional services and things that we pay out. Benefits are 200s. Those are non-controllable. Capital, which I'll talk about, was set aside if we were to do more work at the transfer station, but we are not. We're still in the study phase, so that's money that's on the table. We have money for supplies, governmental. We have some departments, and again, I'll get into more detail on how these are expended. And then we just have general fund indirect, which is county hand out. To pay. And then we do have some temporary employment services that are budgeted as well.
Can I ask you a question? Yes. About your capital there in the, yes, in the capital fund? You say there's how much money in that fund?
Well, we have a solid waste enterprise fund, which is about $3 million, but we had set aside over $666,000 for capital costs in our budget.
Okay.
To do actual capital work, capital programs.
Yeah, and is there any program used for that during the next two-year cycle?
There's not. And so okay, we're going to use that as a plug, and that's a recommendation I'll be asking.
Okay.
So this represents, again, on the expense side, how things look. You can see salaries and benefits are almost half of what we expend. The money that really we, as a program, are using is that 1.174 number, which again I'm going to get into more detail here. But before I do that, some of our monies are just pass-throughs. So Joe's here. We pay them for enforcement coordination. That number is going down over the next couple bienniums, but that's the money that we're receiving. That's been agreed to. We pay money to the small acreage program. The asterisk shows that that's covered by our clean water program. The same is true with the school-based water monitoring. And then the master gardeners. Again, these are 2 years numbers. Master gardeners, as part of our program, do toxics reduction and teach about non-fertilizer herbicide.
Composting.
That's a separate piece, but that's how that money tie is.
Pete, can I ask one more question about on your salaries? You got almost $2 million there. How many full-time employees for that money?
So our division is 10 plus myself, and that would be 7 education specialists, 2 OAs, and a program coordinator. And then our administration also would pay a portion of their fees. So we pay a little bit of...
I was going to say, that's a pretty big hunk of change for 10 people.
There is money that potentially will not be expended in that. So again, we have 2 retirements coming up, so we are working on...
are they going to be replaced?
Those will be questions that will be coming forward. And again, I think
would you like to make a recommendation?
No, well, no. I'm wondering, yeah, who makes the decision?
Well, at this point, it's Don.
Okay.
And so if SWAC wants to weigh on that recommendation, it certainly can.
I don't know your workload, so
that would free up dollars for programs. But again, we're getting into some of the program work that we do.
Okay.
We're in a resource utilization study as well, so that's going to show exactly what we are doing.
Okay. Who actually prepares the budget for us?
Our actual finance person in our department is Nick Simiotti.
I think I'd like to talk to him. Questions?
Yeah, for sure.
If you do, please bring it back, Bill.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is all for transparency. So we do have in our services, which again is the money that we use for programs, I wanted to make it clear that of that 1.174, there's money that's already been dedicated and passed through. So we paid $180,000 for 2 years to fund the Master Compost Recycler Program for Columbia Springs. There's $16,000 for regional clean water, but again, that's covered by the Clean Water Fund. And then we have contracts. A big one is the disposal of the household hazardous waste, which is largely driven by our recycling collection mobile days. So that's something that if we wanted to tighten up, we could. We passed or moved that disposal material to the transfer stations. There is no cost to the county. That's actually picked up by the contractor. So we've been looking at savings there. Block foam, that's been kind of an issue. But we do have an RFQ out. We did have one responder on that. That provides 5-day-a-week collection point plus events collection. And after Christmas, it is a power-up. We have a program with Washington Green Schools, which has been very successful. We're working with environmental issues and green business, bringing our green businesses through. As I mentioned, we have 3 AmeriCorps budgeted for each of the years. And then our natural gardening, technical assistance visits, and then the school assembly program. So those are contracts that are currently in place.
What is the school assembly program?
This is one, it doesn't get expended. He goes to the schools, and we've shifted to food only because of his processing requirements. So he does school assemblies, basically trying to get kids to understand why it's only food.
Pete, what does AmeriCorps do?
The AmeriCorps, we have one works with Sarah Kearns, who's our green business person, and so she'll be working on green business outreach. And then the other is working with Sally Fisher on Green Neighbors outreach. The third one we just learned about, so we're working through that. So, and I'm going to talk more, but that only leaves $500,000 for 2 years to basically do our division programs, which this shows our pass-through, where we're already dedicated to contracts, and then that $523,000. So when you actually look at what we're doing as our division, we've got events and programs that we put on. We also have to pay the disposal costs for these recycling day events, or we have to pay costs related to having our vendors out there. We put on the Recycled Arts Festival, Green Business Showcase, Green School Summit, National Garden Tour, Do It Yourself Fair, there's a number of other events that we put in that number. And then we've got some money set aside really for our outreach side, because we're the Solid Waste and Environmental Education Division. And so in terms of getting the word out and education and change, we have money set aside for graphics, marketing, advertising, our web work. And then the studies, which Mike mentioned, the central transfer station one, which is really the fourth transfer station, is in the middle. We're working with the City of Vancouver on an audit with Waste Connections. And then we have money to actually study this organics processing in the county, because we've been experiencing issues in that end.
So. Is the educational program, is that something that could be subbed out to our to our hauler?
Two
waste connections to our provider.
We do have waste connections, and we've partnered with them, and they have educators. And
that's what I'm thinking. They have educators, so we need to have the both have them.
That would be a discussion, and this body would need to probably get some more information. I can't speak to that level at this point. We work together. We're promoting. And so, less resources would mean less messaging.
Well, which just brings us back to, I know that we put some very good objectives into the educational chapter because we pushed hard for that. And that is a near and dear subject to my heart. I think it's very important that we meet those objectives that we have set forth. We have so many impacts, so many numbers, reaching so many people with direct action. And I think those are going to become more important as we move, especially into the next 5 years. I think it's going to take more time. But I think that the questions you're asking are answered by drawing the parallels with what we've put into those chapters, because you can't know by just throwing money at something if it's sticking.
I've worked with the education people in both the Waste Connections and with the county. Both at that one time, it was kind of funny. They were both Sarahs. And I find that they're complementary and not redundant. They bring different thoughts, different ideas, and having been working with them, the next Wednesday, I have both of them, both Danielle, which is the new person, and Sarah, coming to our green team meeting at Legacy Hospital to try to get us so that we can get these people with PhDs and medical degrees to put the things in the right box, just like they do at the elementary schools. But I don't think we're going to win, but that's why we have the educators.
These would be off a minute.
Yeah. Hospitals are terrible. Oh, they're terrible.
Well, I think we're all in agreement. We want the best bang for the buck. We want to use the ratepayer dollars, grantpayer dollars, in the most effective, efficient way without redundancy. We have some interdepartmental maintenance that we also pay out mostly to our vegetation and weed and mowing, just at the landfill and some other technical pieces there as well. So we're running a pretty big operation, and when you total those numbers up, you can see there's a shortfall of $447,000.
And is that a new shortfall?
It's not a shortfall in our budget. It's just a shortfall that really what I was hoping to do was draw from that capital. Our pie is the same. It's been allocated, a piece of that pie has been allocated to capital, which we're not going to do, so we're basically going to reallocate it to cover our program costs.
Pete, now what's the source of that $600,000 for that capital fund?
It all comes back to that initial revenue. So,
But there are no state or federal strings attached to it.
No, there's no.
It's not like REIT fund that we have down at the city, and we can only use it for
certain things. It would be a recommendation this body could make. The only strings that we do have attached, which doesn't apply here, is the $1.28 grant dollars we get. We have.
Those are strings attached to it. Yeah, I got that.
As we move forward into the next funding cycle, you will be, SWAG, will be recommending what we put forward to the policy.
Do you have a cost per person spent on a yearly basis for education? For the population?
It would have to be program by program. I know we went down that road with our watershed stewards and the master compost recyclers.
Are you trying to put a metric on it to see if cost per person?
Well, it gets more and more dangerous for me to do these mathematical equations because, I have not lived in the Midwest for at least 12 years. And so going back. However, that said, We were at 50% waste reduction in 2001, using 1992 as our base year. And so, you know, knowing that accomplishment, knowing where we are in our waste reduction, you know, I'm always kind of doing the math of what does it cost and why are we, you know, just having, you know, fabulous results. You know, beyond the fact that, I mean, we're doing outstanding things like pulling things out of transfer stations. I mean, oh my gosh, somebody would have a problem over who owns that material in the Midwest. They're too legal oriented. I can't get over it. So, but I'm just, you know, it's not that I have a problem. It's just that I really want, I think we can't move forward toward better solutions unless we really understand.
Well, that's part of this discussion.
I realize the other half of the environmental pie are the water people. And I see where you have some merging of water and the solid waste here, too. And at least the Columbia came out and said that the water people were budget was kind of flaky and that they were going to have to do something about that. There's no wash across, though, is there?
There's no
wash across. You're not taking money from the solid waste to bail out the water people.
Not at all. No, everything is in here, and if it's a water dollar that comes in, it gets expended, and it's a pass-through. So it's really more from a contract management. And from a staffing standpoint, it's not time expended.
I know, but thank you.
No, we do have a lot better idea of what's going on.
Well, this is good discussion. You know, we have... you know, it's a much bigger spreadsheet that breaks down all the programs and the value that we hope to be delivering with those, you know, $100,000, I mean $1 million, and that's for 2 years. So it's $500,000 a year plus our staff. So it's not a huge amount of money to run the programs that we do, and we are very successful and effective with our green business, our green schools, our green neighbors. And some of these outreach programs are what we do with our Clean Heart campaign. And we have some pretty big initiatives that are just starting to go out the gate that could have a big impact and be very positive for our messaging.
Yeah, big job.
Pete, this $230,000 for hazardous waste disposal through field services, does that cover their household hazardous waste?
So what that covers is... when we do our mobile collection events, we have 9 of them throughout the county. We have our last one in Battleground. Yeah. They come out, they staff those events, they collect all the material, they bulk it, and then they dispose of it and they send us the bill. They also collect weekly or when needed from, I think, 7 paint stores, and they send us those bills. It's a much smaller amount of money. And then we also have... it's a more incidental cost, but we have some elderly and they can't get rid of their hazardous waste, so they go and pick it up, and that only happens once or twice a year. So the bulk of it is when we're out in the field running our events, it's a big cost. And if you ran the cost per participant on those hazardous waste dollars, it is high. There's value to keeping that out. But if we were more effective in getting that to the transfer stations, which are open every weekend, in the case of West Bend, Friday and Saturday, Central is Saturday and Sunday. But that's open 52 weeks a year. And so folks don't think they have the opportunity to get rid of that hazardous waste until we give them the billing insert, hey, come and
come. Let me see if I understand what you're saying. Then this $230,000...
And that's 2 years.
2 years.
Correct.
And that covers their manpower?
Their manpower, their truck, their staff, bulking of that material. And again, it's a competitive contract, and this is very good discussion because that contract comes to an end December 31st of this year. And so we do have opportunities to think in new ways. How we still keep that stuff out of the waste, keep it, still have our city connections, because providing that service to some of the smaller cities has been a very good service and partnership.
Are you looking for bidders now? No. I'm serious. Yeah. You're running out of time by the end of the year here if you're going to get other bids.
Well, was it? Is it 15? I'd have to double check. We have. I need to double check on that one.
I think that's pretty important because if you're going to try to rush through and get another qualified bidder in here and take a look at it, have it go through your bidding process.
Yeah. No. I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
Are you going to go to bid or is this going to be an RFP?
This would be an RFP.
Why not a bid?
It could be a bid in this case because we know exactly what the service is.
The reason I hate RFPs for the reason that they can be suspect because the numbers aren't public. The scrutiny is not public. Once you have a bid, then they're public documents and everybody can take a look at it. And the RFP process gets to kind of float around and kind of be the potential for questionable things. And we went through this when we went with the commingled collection. Nobody wanted to tell us what the price was on it. If you remember, SPAC wouldn't support it. SPAC would not give the commissioners our recommendation because nobody would tell us what the numbers were. We had worked for a year on that project with the assumption that the dollars were going to be here, and then it came down to, well, we want you to recommend this, but we can't tell you what the numbers are. It just put a sour taste in my mouth with RFPs.
We will note both these. I want to make sure that we did an RFP previously, and when that date is, we'll note those in the minutes.
Okay. One more question. Once you get that, the money that's paid for their people, then do they send you a subsequent bill for the disposal costs for those items?
It's all line itemed out, yes.
They do?
Yep.
So that's not the total cost.
Well, that is the total cost, including their manpower and their waste disposal.
Oh.
Yes. But it's broken out on the bill. But again, I think the bigger issue here is the more we promote these events, the more we pay. And it's just the tip of the iceberg because there's more and more of this in people's basements. So we want to get them in the habit of bringing it to the transfer stations where it's more convenient, more accessible, and doesn't cost the county money, it costs the contractor money. But again, it is material that we need to manage.
Well, maybe
it's an advertising
your
cost for some people.
Needs to focus on that.
I agree.
But let's focus on taking it out of the special collection events and reminding people that you can take it for free. Central or West Ham, and let them know to get rid of that stuff.
And again, these are recommendations, and we're moving forward into the next round. And I will be bringing more information back to you on the actual costs, materials collected, and I think that'll be a good discussion.
Mm-hmm. The other thing Mike brought out that you're spinning wheels over this organics thing that he's talking about. And Melissa and I were at the Dirt Huggers up there, and they have no problem of taking all the food waste or anything else that's of, you know, like your leaves or whatever, all if you would, biodegradable stuff, because that's what they use that to cover it with anyway. And they're doubling their capacity, and they can't make compost fast enough. They can sell it faster than they can make it. So I would put that on the shelf and go to work on, you know, focus on the transfer station stuff. Because didn't you hear Dirk Huggers say they could, you know, with that new facility they had on the other side, they could go do as much as we could ship them?
It's kind of policy. I don't
know where. Yeah. We want to look in county. I mean, it's part of one of our recommendations.
But you're not going to sell that organic place anywhere in the county. That's going to stink.
Which will last your prairie.
We at Dirt Hugger, could you smell anything other than just a teeny bit of stuff?
I think the set varies there depending on what they have in. They have had some issues, they're saying, but primarily it was.
It should really stink if something's wrong. And so poor management, you know, sadly, is the cause of that. And they're not always well understood. So if there's a smell, somebody's not managing. That's all that means. It's not supposed to smell.
It didn't smell.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pete, can you go over the timeline?
Yes.
This commission is supposed to recommend acceptance of this budget? It goes to the commissioners? Are we involved in the approval process?
We have not been.
Okay.
This is
I was going to say, because I didn't want more. If you're asking for me to put my name on it, I want to get into some details here.
That's why there has been so many questions. I appreciate that and applaud you for saying that.
Okay.
We've been putting Pete through the ringer.
No, this is all good. And so just...
This is nothing what he might get in front of commissioners.
Yeah, yeah.
So
oh,
this is a warm up.
Yeah.
we're just warming up. Pete, getting you ready.
I'm ready. The budget number itself is 6.2. Because we have the revenue, that is set. The expenditures have been put into generic object codes. 100s, 200s, 300s, 400s, 500s, 600s. And when you add that up, you get to the 6.2. Now, we have latitude on how we move those numbers around. Primarily in the 400s, which are services, which was that 1.17 number.
And our greatest authority, Bill, is truly that five-year plan. Because how the county works that five-year plan, and, you know, which is one of the reasons why, you know, from time to time, I haven't done it in a while, but, you know, when I go through the county area, I always like to say, what are you working on? And this program.
Yeah.
Well, what chapters that made in the solid waste plan? And, you know, I give them a heads up that, you know, I haven't done that in a while because I don't want to put anybody in the spot where, you know, we've been in the spot enough that I don't like how that feels. But I think it's really important that we know how we are meeting that back, because it all falls down paramount to, you know, reducing our waste and, meaning we have all of our guiding principles right here. And that's why they're there, so that we can review them and look at those things so that we can make those recommendations. And too often times, you know, it is the nature of being a government to, well, we do this, or, well, we have the money for here and we're not going to do that anymore, so let's spend it over here. And I think that, you know, we can all say, you know, we would be much smarter and better serving, you know, the groups that we are all under the state legislature. You know, Bill, you represent the city and such. It would be in all our best interest. And we will help you do your job better by that.
So on the recommendation point, and I do want to be clear that we welcome the recommendations, really would be on this page here. If you guys said, hey, we want to know something about one of these, we certainly could bring that information back. We don't want you spending your money there. Or this one. So if you came in and said, well, why are we spending $50,000 on this transfer? Well, then that's something that we would need to hear, and we would bring you the information, and we could recommend and say, we don't want to spend the money. That's whack. And then we could take that recommendation in consideration.
This is the first time I've ever seen marketing on a solid waste budget. Right? Not that I'm opposed to it, as you know, I'm a marketer, but it's the first time in my life I've ever seen that.
Some people make their living out of it, I understand.
Yeah, I know. I just, you know, I had no idea there was so much money in government.
You called on the wrong people.
Actually, Pete, I'm glad you're taking this in the right vein here, because as I ask these questions, I am serious about this. It better prepares you to go in front of the commission.
Yes.
In order to have these answers and to show that, you know, the depth of what you've gone through in your budget cycle. So
how did the budget cycle for the current year work? Are you going to zero out at the end of the year?
We are not. We are probably going to come in about 80% of our budget. And so we will grow our reserve. We're an enterprise fund. So those dollars stay in the system. And we're, you know, over $3 million.
So we're doing well, budget-wise. Now we just need to get to work and make sure you're all happy.
Okay, great. Well, moving right along here. We're wrapped up now with the budget?
Yes.
Okay. And Pete, is this you on the approval of the preliminary draft?
Yes, I'd like to bring everyone up to speed on that. And so a couple things have happened. I was hoping to bring the actual printed out plan, preliminary plan, for everyone to review. I know that it's been a long time in the making. We did get some good input from the City of Vancouver on our recommendations. I shared some of those with you, Lisa. It's all 5 pages. And so we have taken the time to go through Chapter 19, which is our implementation, which really is the big stamp of approval here of what we're going to be doing with our timeline. And I thought it would be worth taking some time to go through this. And the plan itself supports the language here, so we don't necessarily need to open up all the chapters. I've reviewed all of this and I looked at it. They all sink into this chapter. And then I need to prepare a financial for the Washington Utility, but that should be pretty quick. So I'm hoping today we can go through the recommendations. If they look good, we can get the recommendation to move to the next phase, which is our public comment, where I will have all of the chapters and the appendices put on our web. We'll bring them to a library and some other public viewing points, and then set a open house meeting, which could either be a separate meeting, or we could tag it on, or we could make it our SWAC meeting. That could happen in November or December. I think we'd be ready to go in November, based on the decisions here.
So I have a question for you in regards to the economic development section in that regard, because I know we had great discussion, on this, and if I were writing it, I would have really taken quite a different approach, but I know we've discussed that. So my question for you is that, are you able to make, it's important to have ownership of something, and I get to go home and I don't have to show up in a county building tomorrow. But what I want to know is that is this something that is feasible at this time, Pete, in your opinion, being a responsible person over that implementation of something new?
Let's quickly work our way there. Can we do that?
Sure.
That's our final chapter. I'm going to take you through quickly. Feel free to ask questions. We have 18 chapters in the plan. This is chapter 19, which rolls it all up. The first one is on administration. We streamline this. The biggest piece here is number one, which really sets the stage for the entire plan. It is a regional solid waste system driven by interlocal agreements with all the cities. It was currently expired in 2016. They need to all be renewed and signed prior to submittal to Ecology. So we have probably until February at the latest to get all those interlocal agreements signed. We've met with the Center and Battleground and Camas. They all are thumbs up. We've had discussions with the City of Vancouver. There are some issues. I think we can hammer them out. We do both agree that there is economic benefit to maintaining the regional system. So this is a number one big one. There are some references, and we're going to make this a little clearer, but in the bottom of one, which is here, I need my pointer. This references where you can find this information in the actual plan. So we want to make it clear if someone wanted to go back in and read more.
That's what you wanted.
And then
tie-ins.
This, if it's circled, it shows what it was in the old plan. And if it's circled, it means it's pretty close to what the language was. If it's a check, then it was the actual same language. And so we also added a column to show if it was a new recommendation, which would be here, and then if it's continuing, again, it's circled, it was close, if it's checked, it was the exact same. So we're trying to make this more of a reference point. Some of these in the administration are generic. We could lose them, but they also give us an overview and help with grant funding. Everything to get grant funded needs to be in here. So coordinate with other agencies, work with Portland Metro. That's all stuff we do. We get down to Chapter 3, which is really about sustainable materials management. This is about managing all the way up the stream. When you put your stuff out, the garbage in the can, there have been 100 cans of waste to bring that product. And so it's looking at product stewardship, life cycle analysis. There's a very active group, Northwest Product Stewardship Council. They brought together the e-waste bill. They're working on paint. So there are definitely some good opportunities for us working with them. And that really talks about those elements as well. Chapter 4 is waste prevention and reduction. You can see, really, all of these are continuations from the previous plan. Most of them have checks in all the bienniums that this covers. Promote regional waste prevention, provide yard debris, chemical reduction programs, utilize our partnerships, commercial waste, and investigate potential funding resources, funding incentives to encourage waste reduction among ratepayers. And that one is not triggered back into the plan. If you look there, there's no parentheses. So I need to take a further look at how that got in there. I'm kind of picking up the ball here. So there's some final review I need to do on my end. Okay, we'll get to the chapter that Lisa was referring to, education and promotion. Meet regulatory requirements, and then build partnerships, and then this is the one. Focus educational activities through using effective marketing strategies, public involvement, outreach plans, provide performance measures, regular evaluations that relate to desired outcomes for each program, in achieving program goals and objectives in conjunction with the county's budget. That's where we've been having some of our discussion tonight. The plan itself, the work you did on that, outlines tools that we can use to make sure that those metrics are tracked, that the planning process is put into place. We roll out some of these larger programs. We'll need to bring them to SWAC. They should follow that chapter process.
And that's all new.
And this is all new, yeah. Actually, yes, yeah, it's all new. Promote and support our three core programs, that's all new. Enhance presence on the internet, and implement residential educational programs to support proper curbside recycling. Of course, that's our bread and butter. And then try to reach more diverse audiences. Okay, some of these other ones are going to be more technical. Waste diversion, this is just periodically evaluate whether materials should be added or dropped. Encourage non-residential recycling through incentives, pilot programs, and we get to waste collection. This one's talking about some of the discussion we have with Battleground. They currently don't have mandatory garbage or minimum collection services. We want to be able to look at that. Access by the county and cities to collection system information. Enhanced coordination between the Washington Utility Transportation Commission and city contractors. These were in the previous plan, as you can see. Support and investigate state legislative efforts, providing counties with same options for management that cities have. Develop a program for registering commercial recycling haulers to better track tonnage. And identify strategies for working with the UTC to encourage waste reduction and recycling. You can see where those X's fall. That's really the accountability that we'll have on our end to report back and have that work done. Waste transfer and recovery system. This was a discussion Mike was having. Evaluate the future needs of the North County transfer station, doing the analysis, looking at the traffic control, CTR is feasible to expand and manage those issues. Dealing with our siting criteria, which I believe SWAC or the subgroup spent quite a bit of time, and that's a very good tool that this plan put into place. And certainly, when I bring it to the commissioners, that's one of the successes I think this group's had. Explore the option to purchase the transfer station. We are currently in our final extension through the contract, and we are formalizing that as we speak for all the improvements that they've done, the new scale they put in, the new compactors, the C&D sort line, and that brings them out to 2021. And then we notify them in 2020 that we want to purchase, they get another 5 years. And then at that point, we can competitively bid out transfer station. We would own, the county would own, West Van Central, Washougal would end up owning their transfer station. I'm not sure how they would work. Again, that's a big consideration, still a little bit further down the line. So I guess that's 6 years out. But a big one. And then we have been using an environmental management system in our contract languages with the hauler for continuous improvement. Okay, energy recovery and incineration. As you know, wood waste, some of these other things are handled by burning, incineration. Stay informed with the energy recovery field. You know, there are opportunities that may exist out there, but again, this is something we have not been pursuing. Landfill disposal, no big surprises here. We can use our existing contract, which is now extended through 2021, to get our stuff, all the stuff from West Bend and CTR go to, on the barge out to Finley Buttes. Stuff from Washougal goes by truck out to Wasco County landfill. No new landfills in the county. That's been one from the previous chapters, previous plans you can see. And evaluate a regional approach to managing transportation disposal, including the formation of a disposal district. Again, I put that out quite a few years, but that gives us more control. This regional disposal district would be like commissioners, and they would have an actual say in how things are done. The moderate risk waste, we really tightened this up. There were a number of bullets, but the bottom line we've got here are to continue with our collection programs, which are curbside, home collection, satellite, and our permanent collection facilities. And to promote through the DEA our MED programs, and prohibit the disposal of all moderate risk waste through the municipal solid waste collection and disposal system as an incentive to reduce waste at the source or to separate it from garbage for collection in a hazardous waste collection facility. In Clark County, household hazardous waste are already prohibited from disposal at the transfer stations by CRC, and of course the electronics are banned as well. So that would put the same ban on the hauler, so they wouldn't be able to pick that stuff up. Couple more under the moderate risk waste plan. Provide education to our small businesses. Continue to partner and deal with other new hazardous materials that have come in, batteries from electric vehicles. Keep a line on that. Source control visits to businesses to protect human health and the environment. So that's it. C&D, construction demolition. Looks like the majority of these were the previous plan. Continue our public-private sector education programs. Expand the C&D reuse at West Bend, which we have already started through the new sort line. use the permitting process to promote recycling, continue our regular dialogue, ensure convenient, cost-effective disposal alternatives of that waste stream. It is a significant waste stream.
It will be too, you know, because of the increased building.
Similar to the landfill section, no new landfills for that material, or any landfill material for that matter. Continue at the transfer stations what they're doing, and provide information and partnerships to keep that material out of the waste stream. Okay, just a few more. Organics wastes. These are all new recommendations. As processing capacity allows, expand and maintain food waste collection program at our schools and businesses. Conduct a study, which is what we talked about. It's both on the processing side, it's also on the residential side, if we could add food waste into our curbside collection program. We have that out in 17-18, we'll look at that one. Work with partner agencies to increase food donations. Focused outreach to residents and businesses to reduce food waste. And consider a landfill ban on yard waste and or food waste, conditional on processing capacity and or failure to reach a diversion goal. So that's the second ban.
Pete, your item number three there, work with partner agencies to increase food donations. Are you working in conjunction with the county health department on that? There are some restrictions on food donations, aren't there?
We have been working with them, especially at the school level.
Uh-huh.
And we've gotten, every instance, we've gotten a variance from them to continue.
Okay, thank you.
This is not reusable food, though, right?
That was for the reuse of food, like milk cartons. On those DEA events we just held before, we did include food waste collection, and we had 1,174 pounds brought to us just in those
events.
So there are opportunities.
On number five.
Yes.
What exactly is that? That sounds
the landfill ban?
Extreme to me, yeah.
Well, actually, and this is something Seattle Public Utilities, you were in that.
I know Seattle's trying it, but that may or may not go.
Again, that's why we put the conditional pieces on there. I think, you know, there's processing capacity, and if we find in our waste studies that folks are still throwing this stuff away,
it's, what are you going to do?
It's an unenforceable ban. It's more of an educational piece. You're not going to come in and have the food.
See, the language in that one bothers me.
Why do you say you won't go? It says here it was 9-0. They voted it in.
They got it enforced.
Yeah.
They've got to enforce it, and there's already lawsuits.
I mean, it's...
Well, you guys are the recommending body.
It's a guideline.
So if you want to recommend new language, I'm all ears.
You know, these are guidelines for implementation, and I think, you know, for overview purposes, I think it will be important to have the entire document for everyone's review.
Yes. That one does not have a reference, so some of these I'm going to need to go in and find those references to the document. In some cases, there was no reference, it was just the recommendations, so still patching that. Special wastes. This is where a lot of that good work was done. I know we're handling some of the issues with really looking at number three, our disaster debris, number four, animal carcasses, and again, no new landfills, and then just tracking our technologies here. So the big one here is currently folks are able to bury their dead animal carcasses, and this plan strongly came out against that practice and said they either need to be taken to a disposal facility or an incinerator down in Brooks, Salem. And I think Gary must have led some of that charge. I don't have the history of that chapter, but
I remember him talking.
But that was a big change. It's not a new recommendation, but I think the language is striking. Waste monitoring and performance, not a whole lot here. You know, we track our data. There's a whole appendices on all of our data that will be included in this plan. Working, obviously, with our largest contractor on data management. Doing our characterization studies. I'll need to double-check our contracts. Normally, they specify the years for the waste studies. I don't know if we have any more left, Rich.
For the...
to do the full-fledged waste study, waste composition, comprehensive waste analysis.
You did it every 5 years, right?
I may have got amended, so...
Oh, it did.
I need to find out, and I'll plug that in. That's why it didn't get plugged in the date there. So I'll check on that. The data appendix I mentioned. So two more, you're doing well. Enforcement. Public health helps with this one. It's quite a bit here. Enforce the garbage hauling franchise. We are a UTC controlled county, very different than you go up to Portland. Participate in state regulations, education strategies on franchising rights, make sure the right haulers are hauling the right things. Should develop and implement ordinances. Looks like there's a typo there. To allow enforcement through progressive enforcement mechanisms. Develop and distribute educational information regarding enforcement roles. The county city should update their ordinances to regulate on-site burial of solid waste. This is what Joe was talking about. And prohibit on-site burial of moderate risk waste. Another typo. And hazardous waste, biomedical, or certain on industrial and agricultural, residential, commercial, basically anywhere. So this is one that we have moved up the rank into 15-16. So we are hoping to push this one through, as Joe mentioned, I think. Been in every plan iteration for the past four, so we're excited to start getting action on this one. And then adopt an ordinance expanding enforcement provisions for unsecured loads through the Clark County Sheriff's Office. Update the county's ordinances regarding directing waste to designated disposal sites. And we need to double check on that. I think Rich had a comment on that one, but I believe that that may be part of the ordinance update process. Funding and financing, number one, continue our grant program, and two, continue to rely on our public sector to fund and finance our large capital improvement projects, which is the way we've been operating our system. Obviously, look into grant funding and any other options that can contribute funding, either through collection disposal districts, explore opportunities to develop business growth and further economic development opportunities related to improving recycling markets, solid waste infrastructure related purposes. Okay, on to our final chapter. And
Pete, I got a question on that.
Yeah.
You sent this over to Mike Bomar at Siri DC,
didn't
you?
Yeah.
And did he give you back some input?
I did get some comments, yes.
Okay, are they incorporated here?
They were mostly text comments to add into this final chapter.
Okay.
They didn't impact the recommendation.
Okay, good.
Mostly having to do with carbon fiber.
Okay, I wonder where that comes from.
Okay, this is a new chapter, obviously all new recommendations. One thing I will point out is there has been a discussion between the City of Vancouver and the county preliminarily on whether or not this is a use of regional dollars, and so we'll need to get through that discussion. So number one, convene a task group with other government departments, regional agencies to focus on developing green manufacturing jobs and eco-business parks related to the solid waste industry. To include various planning incentives such as enterprise zones, SWAC will play an active role in this planning review and implementation.
What does that mean? Will play an active role.
SWAC?
What does that mean, SWAC will play an active role? In what way?
Well, I think SWAC has played an active role just in this whole chapter. So in terms of
recommending.
Will we pass on any suggestions or recommendations?
Well, one is already in play by the CREDC.
Yeah.
That came out of us.
Okay, that's right.
We also have been forming more partnerships. A call came in from a potential foam plant that wants to set up here in the county, in the city, to make those insulated block, building block forms.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I sent them over to CREDC. We've begun the discussions.
A lot of phone calls go between city, CREDC, and county on a regular basis. So. Depends on who takes the lead.
It's that geofoam like they used on 139th crossover?
It's a form that they pour it into and then it stays there. So it has the insulating properties as well as not needing to ruin.
Because they did, you know, that whole 139th with nothing but styrofoam.
It may be
it's called geofoam, but
yes.
It's the same stuff.
Okay,
about the size of a car. You know, and they just put it block by block. And
it stays there?
That's it, yep.
Mm-hmm.
No,
they
buried it.
Conduct a feasibility study. This is what we had talked about, to look at a compost facility to allow recovery of food waste, in addition to yard debris, from the waste stream. That is something we are ready to scope out. And once we have that scope, we will send, I guess, to you as a new courtesy, either through email, we can discuss how best that process works. I can work with you on that. Some of these are underway, as you can see, in 1516. We're master planning the Legner Landfill campus. We are evaluating the Fleischer property, which is in that same area. There's some PCB contamination, if that's feasible to bring into the master planning area. That would all be light industrial land available for jobs and development, either for solid waste needs or not. Develop the funding and financing plan to determine if it's economically for the county to acquire and remediate the Fleischer properties. That's the same discussion. Implement a pilot program, transfer station, recover household reusable items. As I said, we started that, explore a partnership with a nonprofit organization to handle and manage the most goods. And then seven is just the generic catch-all. Track expanded and new market opportunities. Right on time.
Well, and I wouldn't dare not hear from Alan.
Well, I've got too much.
Oh, yes.
I'll do it some other time.
Are you sure you can compile it? And could we please, Cynthia, move Alan up on the agenda for the next time?
And if you have photos, you can. I know the email bounced back. I can get on a zip drive and pull them up here.
So we will do that. And
run as fast as I could.
That takes control.
Well, it takes
all day to do that.
This is our biggest job.
This is,
so truly, it's important. Do we have any comments from the public? It's your turn to say what annoys you with me. Go ahead.
I don't have any.
Well,
did you catch that? They don't have any.
No.
Meaning, I'd like to compliment you on your, I got this in the mail today, and you must think I'm a slow learner because I got two copies.
Oh.
And went through it, and really appreciate it. Good job there. And that worked out good. Just for the things that other people might want to know, we're going to clean Legacy's green team is going to clean up 2 miles of I-5 from 179th North through the Gee rest area there tomorrow, Saturday. So we'll there'll be a lot of white bags along the roads. And like I mentioned before, you've got Danielle and Sarah coming over to the Legacy next Wednesday at 9 o'clock. How do we get that green team, that green newsletter? Usually it's in our packet. It's online too.
I can email it out to everyone.
Yeah.
Would you please? That's all I have.
Perfect. And Alan, you do a beautiful job with the public interest groups, and thank you for that. And thank you for everybody bearing with us. 8 o'clock, We will adjourn this meeting, and we'll see you next month.
Ducks are on channel 35.
There we go.
Thank you all for coming.
I got 11 bucks on the last highway cleanup I did.
We found a pistol.
And a cell phone.
Oh, we found several cell phones.
Oh, my gosh.
Several cell phones? Oh, because people get mad and they throw them out?
I don't know.
There's all kinds of things.
Oh, you can't imagine. You cannot imagine what's in that highway.
We do it.
And we pick it up every 6 months, the same highway.
It's true.
We do it every four times a year.
A section of our council members found a $10 bill.
Thank you all for coming. At least it wasn't the Seahawks game last time we met.